Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In our prior broadcast, we studied the work of righteousness in the Old Testament and how it is connected to salvation. Let's do a little review and then we'll get into the lesson today, which is the work of righteousness in the New Testament. Some Bible believers teach that salvation in the Old Testament was based upon faith and works. That is, a man had to believe in the Lord and keep the law. Others teach that works could not have been a factor in the salvation of an Old Testament saint because a man is not justified by the works of the law. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we being justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So they say because of that verse and verses like that, there's no way that an Old Testament saint could have been saved by keeping the law. And many in this group, the ones who say that it couldn't have been by works, also believe that Old Testament saints were looking forward to the cross. Now, we're not going to really comment a lot on that. What we're going to review is our understanding of Old Testament salvation. Our Old Testament salvation understanding is that it was connected to a man's faith, of course. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, the just shall live by his faith. Okay? So it was connected to a man's faith. It was connected to his work of righteousness. There are several places. Romans chapter 10, verse 5, when Paul is comparing salvation in the New Testament with salvation under the law. In Romans chapter 10, verse 5, Paul says, Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 25. It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Okay. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. There's no question that there's some involvement of a man's work of righteousness. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And then he goes down and lists things like backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, and so forth and so on, right on down the list. And so what you have here is that you have a faith, okay, Habakkuk 2:4. You've got the work of righteousness that we've seen in these scriptures, and there are others. And then on top of those two, you have this, which is not discussed generally when men have the discussion about their different opinions concerning Old Testament, New Testament salvation. You have the Lord's mercy. Look in, and this is what we were studying in the prior broadcast, Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Look what the Lord says. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Question mark. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And Micah rejects all of that and says this, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Number one, to do justly. There's his work of righteousness. And to love mercy. That's the mercy. And to walk humbly with thy God. There's the faith. There's the faith. So there's a combination, not of just two things, faith and works, but faith and works, whereby those works compel the man to the Lord's mercy. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord, in dealing with the Pharisees, showed them specifically, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You see all three of those. Judgment would compel him to his works of righteousness. Mercy would compel him to the Lord's mercy, and faith would compel him to the Lord. Habakkuk 2:4. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, the discussion of sacrifice came up. That's why we say, I don't believe that men were looking forward to the cross in the Old Testament. The men that were Old Testament saints at the time of the crucifixion were the disciples, and they didn't understand the cross, and they were looking at it. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if a man's work of righteousness convinced him that he was righteous, he wouldn't come to the Lord for repentance. But the Lord said, I'm going to have mercy, and I give that to sinners who repent, see? In Luke chapter 18, you've got a Pharisee there, and he is proclaiming his own righteousness and his works of righteousness, but you've got the publican, and he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He seeks the Lord's mercy. So apart from the Lord's mercy, there would have been no salvation under the law, no matter what. When the law is being proclaimed by the Lord in Exodus chapter 20, right from Mount Sinai, right by the lips of the Lord, he says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. There's the mercy that love me, that's faith in God, and keep my commandments. They're all three right there. Exodus chapter 25 shows us that the ark contained the testimony, which was the Ten Commandments, and on top of the ark, what? The mercy seat. Do you see that? You can't really have the discussion of Old Testament salvation by just faith and works without discussing mercy. Exodus 34, 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty. That doesn't get clear till Jesus comes. So there would have been no salvation under the law apart from the Lord's mercy. In other words, a man's work of righteousness revealed his need for mercy and directed him to the Lord for that mercy. That's why the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. His work of righteousness did not procure his justification. In other words, he didn't obtain his justification because he was working righteousness. He procured his justification when God extended his mercy to him. So the trouble with a man's work of righteousness in the Old Testament came when he would do the law, or parts of it, and thereby justify himself by his own righteousness. Now that was the trouble with the Pharisees. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, the Pharisees were covetous, and look what the Lord said to them in verse 15. You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. In Luke chapter 18 again, that Pharisee tried to justify himself by his works. And the Lord said, after the publican begged for mercy, and then the Lord had a comparison between the two, the Lord said in Luke 18:14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, that is, the one who begged for mercy, rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So his work of righteousness is not to exalt himself, it is to cause him to beg for mercy. Job had trouble with this. until he repented before the Lord. In Job 33, here's the deal that Elihu had to fuss at Job about. Okay. In Job 33, in verse 8, surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, I have heard the voice of thy word, saying, I am clean without transgression, I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, and Job really was a very righteous man. He describes his works of righteousness in Job 31, and I dare any man to try to hold a candle to what he was doing. Verse 10 of Job 33 says, behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Elihu says to Job, verse 12, behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. And what's the answer? Verse 27 of Job 33, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. In other words, his works of righteousness compel him to the Lord's mercy. And so Job did repent. Job did realize that he was wrong. Job had thought, my righteousness is more than God's. But when he actually saw the Lord, he repented in dust and ashes and abhorred himself, and the Lord extended mercy. Do you understand? Once he repented, he received mercy. Now, let's take all this into the New Testament. Likewise, in the New Testament, we get saved by the Lord's mercy. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And he does that when we put our faith in Jesus finished, and I say finished. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said, it is finished. When we put our faith in Jesus' finished work of righteousness. Now, this is very important. Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verses 3 and 4. Paul here is starting out, he says in verses 1 and 2, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Do you see that? The work of righteousness is finished in Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And that's where the Jews had trouble, because they're still in that economy of, I've got to work righteousness in order to justify myself. It's a real problem. He even says so in verse 5 of Romans chapter 10. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And so a Jew comes to this and he goes, I cannot put my faith in the finished work of righteousness on Calvary because my law says I must work righteousness. It's a real problem. However, you and I know that Jesus Christ finished the work of righteousness on Calvary, and what he does is he extends mercy to us when we put our faith in the Lord. Therefore, unlike Old Testament saints, we don't have to walk in the law to do justly. Remember when Micah said, what did the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We don't have to do justly because Jesus Christ has already done it. Watch. The law has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And since he is in us, therefore the law has already been fulfilled in us. Do you understand? In other words, Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, right? Okay. Then, if he's in us and he has ended that law, the law has already been fulfilled in us. Romans chapter 8, you'll see it for yourself, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, begin with verse 1. We'll read down to verse 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, watch it, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the spirit, after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we don't have to walk in the law to do justly, because the law has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ and He's in us, therefore the law has already been fulfilled in us. Not only that, but also this. The law governs the flesh. And once you and I get saved, our flesh is now declared dead by the death of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the law has no dominion over us because we're dead in Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, Paul says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, the law governs the flesh. Our flesh in Christ is dead. So we don't walk in the law to do justly now, because the law is fulfilled and we're dead in Christ. And then there's another reason that we don't have to walk in the law to do justly. Since righteousness is complete in Jesus Christ, according to Romans 10:4, we don't work righteousness to receive His mercy. We simply serve righteousness. You see, the work of righteousness is on the inside of us, rather than on the outside of us as an external standard and guide leading us to just living in mercy. In other words, it's in me and I can yield to it, and righteousness can then work in me. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So when I yield to righteousness in me, righteousness then works in me, and I'm not keeping the law in order to be righteous. Righteousness has already been kept by Jesus Christ, and now it is working in me, and I'm doing the right things because Christ is in me doing those things. Romans chapter 6, verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, watch it, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So unlike Old Testament saints, I don't have to walk in the law to do justly. I simply yield to the work of righteousness in me, and therefore God can accomplish in me things that I could not have accomplished in that the law was weak. Now, let me tell you something. There's a problem with this. The trouble with the work of righteousness in the New Testament then is a threefold problem. Okay? The trouble with the work of righteousness in the New Testament is this. The lost man looks at himself in the New Testament and proclaims that I'm righteous enough to obtain heaven without Jesus. Now, we know that's not going to work, but that's what he tries to do. In other words, he goes back and looks at the work of righteousness under the law, and he says, if I can keep those things, then I'll be fine. And so, you know, when we're doing personal work, we ask men, you going to heaven? Yes. Why? Well, because I keep the law, I love God, I love my neighbors, myself, and so forth. You know what he's done? He has looked in the law and proclaimed his own righteousness based upon the law. But Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So that's a real danger of the work of righteousness in the New Testament, because he may justify himself by his own works. Many men do. Most men do. And it'll send them straight to hell. Here's the second problem. And this one you really, really want to pay attention to. We're not just giving some sort of a doctrinal study here. Here's a real application. Here's the second problem. The saved man after he gets saved, develops a system of righteousness. He might call them convictions. He might call them standards or some other name. And as long as he is doing those things, he thinks he's serving righteousness, when in truth, he's just keeping man-made ordinances just like the Pharisee did. The danger is he may totally ignore the righteousness of Jesus in him. Truly, truly, his righteousness is complete in Jesus. Thus, he serves righteousness not when he makes his flesh obey his rules, but when he recognizes that his flesh is dead and then subjects that flesh to the righteousness of Jesus Christ who is alive in him. Do you understand? In other words, I have seen this, particularly in good Bible-believing churches. I've had the tendencies myself. We know what it is to do right. And so what we do is we say, okay, you have to dress this way. You have to present yourself this way. You have to groom yourself this way. You have to do these things. Well, when children, for instance, grow up in that environment and get saved at a young age, they know the imposed standards. And so what they do, they're not serving righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ in them. They're not subjected to his righteousness. They're subjected to the man-imposed rules. And as long as they're keeping those rules, they think then, I am righteous. Well, the trouble is, they know that their righteousness is not in those rules. And in time, since they have not been yielding to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, they are weak spiritually. Now they're teenagers. Now they're in their 20s. And guess what? They become disillusioned because they've been keeping a man-made set of rules to a certain extent. Those rules may have come from verses in the Bible, but they're still imposed and enforced by men. And the child's righteousness is based upon other people's judgment of whether he's keeping those rules. We call it doing right. And then what happens is he gets older. Now he's 18, now he's 20, now he's 22, now he's 24. And suddenly, he has no familiarity at all with yielding to the righteousness of Jesus Christ in him when he needs that the most. And suddenly, the standards fail him and the convictions fail him because they were not his own. They didn't come from the righteousness of Jesus Christ in him. And he's trying to live up to those things in his own power. His flesh is basically alive when it should be dead, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is weak because he hasn't learned to yield to it. That's a great, great danger when we talk about the work of righteousness in the New Testament. It's terrible when a lost man works righteousness in order to be saved. It's terrible when a saved man works righteousness in order to do right rather than allowing the righteousness of Jesus Christ to work in him. Such a major, major difference. Now, here's the third problem with the work of righteousness in the New Testament, and another one you really need to pay very, very careful attention to. The saved man realizes his righteousness in Jesus Christ is complete, and so he ignores the work of righteousness in him by going about and doing whatever he wants till he dies because he knows that he's secure in Christ. This is a terrible mistake because the Lord is going to judge you at the judgment seat of Christ for the things that you've done in your body. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In other words, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, he expects that work of righteousness from you since Christ's righteousness is in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Now what's he saying? Well, the work of righteousness is in your body. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So he has every right to judge what's happened in your body, whether it's good or bad, based upon whether or not it was the fruit of the work of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. The Lord has an expectation that the works of righteousness come from you since Christ's righteousness is in you. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians today who are truly saved, and they are resting in the completed righteousness of Jesus Christ for eternity, but they are not walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ on this side of glory, and you are going to be a tremendous failure at the judgment seat of Christ as a result. It's terror, Paul says, terror. Let me reiterate these and then just bring it to a quick conclusion. The danger is that your works of righteousness have convinced you you're saved when you're lost. The danger is that you know the works of righteousness and now you establish some standards that you want your children to keep and you want them to keep in their adulthood, and they're not used to living in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which because they don't know how to yield to it. They don't know how to serve it. And their work of righteousness based upon your standards fails them in their adulthood. Or thirdly, they're secure, once saved, always saved, in the completed righteousness of Jesus Christ, and then fail to yield to the work of that righteousness in them for the rest of their lives, and their bodies come up a flat zero at the judgment seat of Christ. All of those are tremendous, tremendous problems in the New Testament. So here's the conclusion. In the Old Testament, through the work of righteousness, by faith, by a man's faith, a man availed himself of the mercy of God conditioned upon his continuance in that righteousness. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 21 to 28, exceptionally good verses to read on this. That is, if he doesn't maintain that righteousness, he dies in his wickedness. In the New Testament, by faith, we obtain the mercy of God when we become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, and thus our righteousness in Christ is secure. Thereafter, we yield to that completed righteousness rather than walk in our own righteousness. And that is the work of righteousness.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.